show called Let's Talk Homeschool. I'm Davis, and I'm with my lovely wife, Rachel. We are your hosts. This is the show where we talk about everything homeschooling, the how, what, when, where, and why. We want to affirm and encourage you in the decision to homeschool. We want to challenge and inspire you to take it to new heights. And finally, we want to celebrate everything you get to experience in this adventure of a lifetime. Welcome to episode number 42. Today's show is titled Butterfly Gardens. Okay, Rachel, let's talk homeschool. So Rachel and our family love butterflies. We actually have had a butterfly bush in our yard for 15 more years, and it definitely attracts the butterflies. It works. Well, several years ago, Rachel planted some milkweed and eventually raised some monarch butterflies. It was such an exciting project that we turned a whole section of our front yard into a bona fide butterfly garden, complete with milkweed, butterfly bushes, and more. Now, every August and September, Rachel leads our family on a wonderful adventure of raising butterflies, from eggs to caterpillars to chrysalises to butterflies. It's a glorious journey from start to finish, and it's a great way to start each new homeschool year. So today, Rachel is going to share with you some details of what you can do to experience the same thing. Rachel, where in the world do you want to begin? Tell us about how you, take us back some more. How did you actually get started in this, and what would you want to share with people?
Yeah, so this is one of those glorious things that our kids have enjoyed. I was thinking before we started, I think the first time we raised butterflies, it was actually a Christmas gift, right? We got the little kit and the little eggs, and we did it that way where the little caterpillars actually eat goo in a jar. And that's cool, and that's awesome, and we got butterflies out of that, and that was amazing. But the first time we did this, we were in a rental house. And the backyard of this rental house was just awful. I mean, it was just, it was filled
with...
It was a dirt pile, and it was filled with all things bad, like fire ant piles. And we even found, I believe, some black widow spiders. I mean, it was a dangerous place, right? And with little kids, it had this slope, and it was rocky. I mean, there just didn't seem to be anything redeemable about this backyard until one day... apparently the people who had lived there before us had had some sort of a garden, and there was parsley growing. And I remember our second son, Anderson, came in one day, and he had found what looked to be like some really glorious caterpillars on the parsley. And so being the homeschool family that we had to look up the caterpillars, right? What is this? And Anderson was always our bug, all things alive guy. And we found out that those were swallowtail butterflies, caterpillars. And our journey began. So they ate through all of the parsley in the backyard. And then eventually we got parsley from the organic market and fed that to them. And we literally, kind of creepy to some people, we would literally put the caterpillars and their breakfast parsley in the middle of the breakfast table. And so while we're crunching on Rice Krispies, we could listen to the caterpillars munch the parsley. And I still maintain that is the coolest thing, that my kids know what it's like to be quiet enough to hear a caterpillar.
Well, I was going to say, we've watched many an animal eat their breakfast in the middle of our breakfast
table.
I know,
it's so true.
But caterpillars, you do have to stop
and
not chew yourself, but you can actually hear them
you
crunching,
actually can.
And it's a pretty marvelous experience.
It's a pretty amazing, and they're methodical in it. You know, the way they eat all the way down, they eat in rows, and they eat all the way down, and they will eat in the parsley bare until all you have in the cage are stems.
Stems, yeah.
And they would just go through so much parsley. It was just remarkable to me. But then, I don't know what I thought was going to happen after they ate all that parsley, but then, you know, they go up the sides and they get into position, and that's different for every butterfly. For a swallowtail, they like make a little hoop around themselves and lean back and they chrysalis. For a monarch, they actually hang upside down into a J. So it's different for different butterflies. But my goodness, when they all were hanging around the cage and then they started coming out as butterflies, it's such a joyous thing to see the true transformation. And what a moment as a believer to talk to your children in the true transformation that's available only through Christ Jesus.
Oh, sure. There's so many theological lessons you can use with eggs and caterpillars and butterflies or on chrysalis and butterflies that you can share with your kids. So what's the entire time from egg to butterfly? How much time is involved?
I think it's got to be a month because...
Which is not a long period of time,
It's not a long period of time, but it can be a very intense period of time. And so they eat until you just think they're going to pop. I mean, as long as you'll give them parsley, they'll eat. And then some trigger inside of them, you know, they're designed to know when it's time to make the change, and they go to the top. So our first batch was at that rental house, and that's actually where Benjamin was born. So we had seven under what?
Under 13.
That was an intense period of life. And yet the butterflies were something that we could come around, and they were something that we could, I just think it was just a wonderful thing that we had at that house during a difficult time. But then every time we would go to like a garden or a botanical garden or a zoo, we would always go to the butterfly tent, right? And I kind of became like, what is this? I want to do this again. And I learned, a little slow on the uptake, I learned that monarchs, they will only lay and they only eat milkweed. So they only lay their eggs on milkweed and they only eat milkweed.
So that's their milkweed is their host plant.
It is. That's it. That's it for them. Whereas for swallowtails, for example, they'll do dill, fennel, carrot seed,
obviously,
and parsley. So they'll do a lot of different things, but the monarch will only do milkweed. So we went to a botanical garden one time and they had milkweed seed. And so I bought some, and we were in another house at this point, and I planted the milkweed seed, and I just knew I had done what I was supposed to do, right? And so the monarch should come, and they didn't come that first year, and they didn't come the second year. Milkweed, by the way, reseeds itself, so it has little pods on it that pop open, and the seeds scatter, and so milkweed is one of those things you never really know where it's going to come back unless you intentionally plant it. But it will reseed itself. And so for 4 years, we had milkweed and no monarchs. And then about 4 years ago, we were just talking about this, the first monarch mama came. And you would have thought, I don't know what, we had a joyous celebration on our driveway because I remember going, oh, it's happened. She's here. And we watched her lay eggs on the milkweed. By the way, monarch mamas do not do it in any systematic way. They literally flutter about, lay an egg here, lay an egg there. I mean, it's not like they're all in lines, and they're kind of hard to find. But we were just about doing cartwheels on the driveway because we had a monarch. And I would have to look back at my notes, but I think the first year, maybe we released 30. I mean, not very many.
Okay.
The first year. But we learned a lot the first year. And I will say, this was our notebooking journal of a lifetime, mm-hmm. right? So we got out a notebook and we started monarch butterflies and we dated and we took notes every day. We found this many eggs. We found this many cats, in the caterpillar butterfly world, you don't bother saying the word caterpillar. You just refer to the caterpillar as cats. And so we would write down how many cats we had, what size they were. We would write down how many times we fed them. We would write down how many times we cleaned out the cage because that's part of it. They generate a lot of poo. And so we had to do all that. And so we took all these notes. And what we learned, we did a lot of research that first year, is that we were getting the monarchs on their way back to Mexico. Mm-hmm. So the way the monarchs work is...
Right, they have a whole migration route.
They do. So they overwinter, we'll start there, in Mexico. And then the first generation in the spring makes it to like the first tier states of the United States.
Like Texas and those areas?
Yeah, it does. Some of them just go up through Texas and then disperse along the lower parts of Canada, the southern parts of Canada. And some actually cross the Gulf of Mexico. But there's the first tier and then the second tier and then the top tier of the United States. And then what happens? They turn and they start coming back in the fall. So we don't get our monarchs. We don't get in the spring when they're coming from Mexico. We get them on their return when they're going headed back to Mexico.
So in the August time frame, they're coming through the Carolinas.
Exactly. And I don't know. Maybe other people in Carolina get them on the way up. We just don't happen to. And the most amazing thing is somehow the monarchs go back to where their great-great-great-great-grandmother was raised to lay again. So once you've established yourself as a stop on what's referred to as the Monarch Highway, they're coming back and they're bringing friends, right? So the ones that lay at our house, they die, the moms lay, they die after they lay the eggs. The ones that we release, this is the most amazing thing, the ones that we release cross the Gulf of Mexico
and go to Mexico
and overwinter. So they live longer than the other generations. They overwinter and then they make it back to the first tier of the United States, and that's where they lay. I just think that that's remarkable. I mean,
just
absolutely remarkable. And so a couple of years ago, you'll remember we had that terrible hurricane that came through. Matthew, I guess it was. And the
2016, right, Matthew hurricane.
That obliterated a lot of the monarchs. The ones that we released got caught up in Matthew. And reports that I read online, because there are people that this is, they're really serious about raising monarchs. And there were lots of reports of a lot of monarchs found on the beaches because they got caught in the wind and they couldn't do anything. But the reality is you can contribute. Monarchs have, I don't know that they're on the endangered list, but the reality is their habitat is being mowed on highways. Just as recently as 20 years ago, I can remember when you and I would drive back and forth to Ohio for family, and you could see milkweed on the side of the road. You don't see milkweed on the side of the road anymore because now, I don't know why, but we've become obsessed with mowing our highways and or killing everything on the highways. And in doing so, we have killed the food source, the host plant of monarchs. So you can buy milkweed seed. And I would strongly advise seed because 2 years ago, we had a very unfortunate situation happen.
Right. So 2 years ago, we felt like we kind of had this figured out.
Yeah.
And we had a bumper crop of eggs and caterpillars, and you were feeding them like crazy. Mm-hmm. And there's larger, I mean, we had over 100, as I recall, just a very large number, several nets and cages where we're keeping them all. And what happened?
It was really heartbreaking because we thought, we knew that we would have more because we had them the year before, but we were unprepared. We did not have near as much milkweed in our own garden as we needed. And so we had to outsource. We had to go to local nurseries and buy milkweed. And in so doing, we poisoned them.
Poisoned them? How did we do that?
So insecticides are widely used. And if you have your yard sprayed for insects, which I hate to do because I love the garden spiders and I love all of those things, you're inadvertently going to kill your caterpillars.
Right. So the insecticides they were using in the local nurseries, we brought the milkweed, and as I recall, we even washed the milkweed just as a general precaution.
I did. I did everything that I could, but it killed
them within 24 hours. A large number of them.
And we tried everything. I tried to find an organic non-insecticide supplier. Could not find one. I had planted milkweed seed as quickly as I could, right, when I realized I was not going to have enough. We actually rationed it. I mean, it was really bizarre what we did. And I ended up literally pulling the ones that I thought were the strongest and had the most chance of actually making it.
That was a tough year. So
we cried. It was a tough year. I mean, it was just to see them die, to see what the insecticide did to them. It was heart-wrenching, and I would not have believed it if I hadn't seen it myself.
So what did we do the next year, which was last year?
So last year, I planted so much milkweed, it was not even funny. We had milkweed everywhere, and so we expanded how much milkweed we had.
Right, we built a whole butterfly garden on a large part of our front yard.
Yeah, and you're the math guy, and you can, I don't even know how much space that is, but we didn't just plant host plants, right, like milkweed. And parsley and dill, but we also planted flowers that they would enjoy. It's like lantana they love, butterfly bush, zinnias, rudbeckia, coneflower. All of these we actually planted in.
Even hyssop was the new one you planted this year.
Oh, man, hyssop I found this year, and they love that too. So last year, coming off a really bad second year, It's never 100%. I think at one point we had 150 cats, and we ended up releasing 136. And so this year I planted a whole patch of dill, and we ended up, we've had a bumper crop, interestingly, of swallowtails. I think we've had 30 or 35 that we're going to be releasing here soon. I think we'll have a second crop of swallowtails. And then the monarchs are due at our house probably in the next couple of weeks, and it'll be another massive undertaking. At one point, just so you know, if you ever, if you do this, it's not your imagination that they eat a lot. At one point last year, I think we were feeding all the cats in that one cage. I think we were feeding them every 2 hours. I mean, it was just, it was remarkable how much they were consuming and the busyness in there. But again, do this with your kids. Be wowed and amazed by what God has done.
And so here's what's interesting about the timing. I asked about how much time from start to end.
Sure.
It's about a month.
It's about a month.
But once it's broken up into stages. The first 2 weeks, they're eating like crazy, and then they turn into a chrysalis.
And it's just sort of peaceful.
Once they turn into a chrysalis, you can pretty much mark it 12 to 14 days later, they will emerge. And typically in the morning. And so you will probably come down one day close to 2 weeks after they've crystallized, and there'll be a butterfly waiting for you.
Or coming out,
Or coming out. And at that moment, you just want to hang out at the net because there'll be one, two, or three more emerge right before your eyes. And I remember this one time a few years back, I was fortunate enough to have my phone ready. And in the 90 seconds it took for them to emerge, I had my camera on for 2 minutes and I caught the whole thing.
And
we posted it on the Apologia Facebook page. And it is an amazing thing to watch. You could watch it over and over and over and over again.
Yeah, and I'm becoming known as the butterfly person. I don't know what the butterfly, I don't know. But even with my grandkids, the butterfly lady, even with my grandkids. So once again, they were here last year when we did monarchs, and we got to release a bunch of the monarchs with the grandkids. And then they happened to be here again this year, and we're going to have some swallowtails for them to see released. And actually where they live now has a very natural area where I think they'll be able to go and get their own monarchs this year. In a meadow, there's a bunch of milkweed. So
you may have thought this is a show about butterflies today, but this is actually a show about homeschooling, because this is something you can do to start your homeschool year, to just have a great science lesson that takes about a month from start to finish. Your kids will love it. It's so much discovery and exploration and learning and being outdoors happens. It's a great experience if you're fortunate enough to be able to do that.
And it's really a great way to start off your homeschool year, just downshifting. It's so easy at the beginning of the year to find yourself in fifth gear at breakneck speed when you have the opportunity to not be at breakneck speed. And this has a way of getting you up in the morning without the intensity, because everybody wants to see where the caterpillars are and what the caterpillars are doing, and sitting peacefully and reading together as a family. Look, there's a huge opportunity in front of everybody this fall. Downshift and breathe. And if you get to do it with caterpillars and butterflies, enjoy.
Great. Well, I think we're going to have to finish this conversation now. Thank you all for listening. We'll hope you join us again next time. And if you liked what you heard, please share it. This is Let's Talk Homeschool, and we are your hosts, Davis and Rachel Carman. We want to thank our sponsor, Apologia Educational Ministries. Their mission is to help homeschooling families learn, live, and defend the Christian faith. They are the number one publisher of creation-based science, Bible curriculum, and online instruction for homeschooling families, with over 110 number one awards for a time span of over 13 years in a row. Now, as impressive as that is, what's more important is that's why they are trusted by homeschooling families all across the USA and the world. Go to apologia.com, a great place to explore creation. Have a great day, and until next time, we are walking by faith and enjoying the homeschooling adventure of a lifetime.